Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 40, verse 23. And then I'm going to give you another passage of scripture that we're going to read in our reading here, and that will be Genesis 41:9, and I'll tell you that. But for right now, we're going to look at chapter 40, and verse 23. That's the last verse in chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." And then I want to call your attention over to chapter 41, the next chapter, verse 9. And verse 9 reads this way. It says, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we ask for your blessing on your word. Lord, for the Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths and that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, may you empower our lives to enjoy the salvation that you've given to us. Lord, may we rest in you and not get caught up in all the anxieties of life on this side of eternity, but that we would look to you from where not only our help and hope come from, but from where our rest is given, that we might rest in you and truly be the witness, Lord, not just by word, but by deed and by your peace in our lives. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "Forgotten by Man, but Not by God." Forgotten by man, but not by God. And that's what happened here in the life of Joseph. The butler and the baker were sent to prison. As we back up here, we'll realize that that Joseph had intervened and gave them the interpretation of their dream, and the interpretation was accurate, wasn't it? The butler was restored, and Joseph said, "Now, when you get let go, don't forget me." 2 years went by, and Joseph was forgotten. Now, I love Joseph's example. Amen. I don't know that he complained. It doesn't tell us that he complained. I think he patiently waited upon the Lord. And so man forgets us, but God never forgets us. Sometimes we feel forgotten by the Lord. Lord, what's going on here? No, you don't have to admit to that, but have you ever felt that way? What's going on, Lord? We have our time schedule and God has his. But one thing that we ought to know for sure, we are never forgotten by the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalms 40 that the thoughts of God toward you and I cannot be numbered. It says they're innumerable. Isn't that amazing? God's thoughts, he thinks about you. If they're innumerable, how do you equate that? How do you get a handle on an innumerable amount of times that God is thinking about you and I? We think about different things all the time, but God says, "I want you to know you are always on my heart and on my mind." And Joseph found peace in that. And tonight I think we'll get a little insight on God that will give us some confidence in spite of what man does. The first thought I want to look at is the right timing in Genesis 41, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years," just in case you thought it was just a year and a half or in year 9 months, "it was 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." And I just want to see God's timing right there. Again, the butler had forgotten Joseph, but God allowed this dream to take place in the heart and mind of Pharaoh to get everything going into place. Do you believe that? This moved the prophecy. It was the beginning of the movement of the prophecy where Joseph's brothers would be brought before his presence and they would be seeking him for help. Isn't that amazing? Listen, the wheels are getting ready to get started again concerning Israel. The wheels are in gear already for the church and for the rapture. Paul said that he looked forward to the coming of the Lord. The right place in the heart and the mind of a child of God is to be expecting at any moment the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the trumpet to sound. My father-in-law told me years ago, Bethel Baptist Church, it was a good-sized church, two, 300 people, maybe more, I don't know, it was a big church building, and they had a baptistry that was made out of metal back then. Today, they're made out of fiberglass, so it doesn't reverb as much. But anyway, he was talking about the trumpet of God, And they had, I guess, an orchestra type thing where they had several different musicians, right? And anyway, he had the trumpeter in the baptistry. And he was preaching about the trump of God. And then all the saints would be raptured together. And he had, right when he talked about, and the trumpet of God could sound at any time. That was a signal. And that guy let out a note so loud that my father-in-law said, "Man, you thought you were getting ready to go, you know?" And so he was excited. And listen, we think, oh yeah, it's someday, one day, but wait, it's going to happen. And we'll be caught up together, and what a day that's going to be. And Joseph, listen, had that comfort and confidence in God that God has given really to you and I. We're in his hands. God has not forgotten about us. Now listen, I want you to know, you may find this hard to believe, but I have felt at different times, where is God? Where is God? So if you've experienced that, that's not anything. God, listen, God knows our emotions, right? And emotions are a good part. There's nothing wrong with them. The only thing is we need to be reminded by faith that our trust and confidence is in God's great faithfulness, not in ours. Fathom that thought. Listen, your faith is not in yourself if you're standing right with God. Your confidence cannot be in yourself if you're going to be confident. You know why? Because we have failed. Don't raise your hand, but somewhere along the lines, we have failed, and here's the truth. We will fail again. Now, the difference is we will maybe get up. The righteous man says, the Bible says that the righteous man falls but gets back up. He may fall seven times, but he gets back up. That's the difference, and that's because of the grace of God. So the grace of God, and I've said this before and I believe this, listen, in everyone's life, there are things that have taken place, or maybe even will take place, that should cause people to lose their commitment, really, to the things of God. But why are you here? Because of the grace of God. The world would give up because they don't know Jesus or the love of Christ, but you and I have been given that. Listen, Joseph knew the loving care of his heavenly Father. Do you believe that? When he was sold into slavery, wait a minute, when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, his confidence was in God's great faithfulness. Then he was taken by the Midianites. And I don't know how long the trek was there that took place for him to get to Egypt. And then from the Midianites, he was sold to Potiphar. But was not God with him, even in Potiphar's house? And then, wait a minute, now everything should have gone perfect from that point forward, right? Just like your life. Since you've been saved, everything's been going just perfect. You couldn't have asked for any better, right? No. In fact, listen, it's okay to question what God is doing, but may we be reassured in the Lord that he holds us in his hands. And that's where Joseph was at. So he was able to find rest, and he was productive as a young boy, a teenage boy, 17 years old, maybe a little older. And the Lord did many things in the life of Joseph that even Potiphar knew that the Lord was blessing him. And then, of course, you know what happened with Potiphar's wife and then being cast into prison. And so Joseph put his little faith, as a mustard seed, in God's great faithfulness that never, never falters or fails. And so we find this right timing. And I'm sure Joseph said, I know the Lord's going to come through. I don't know the timing, but I leave that with him and I'll walk forward with the Lord. And so much so that the prison keeper left everything also to his charge. When he was there, he was a doer of all the things in the prison. So what a great testimony. Listen, why? How could Joseph do that? The grace of God. How could he be rejected by his own flesh and blood? How could it be sold to the Midianites? How could it be sold to Potiphar? How could it be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and still do right? The grace of God. God's great faithfulness was the difference. And Joseph was like, wow, you know, I have this comfort in my God because you know what? He came forward. He came through for me when I was at home. I know my brothers didn't like me and God gave me the grace. Listen, you know, if you have a sibling, you know, if they're mad at you, they will let you know.
In fact, if you were a sibling, right, then and you may have been mad at your sibling, you, and of course you are if you have one, right? But anyway, you would let them know if you were upset with them. And so Joseph knew this, and he still went when his father sent him to go check on his brothers to see how they were faring. He still went. Instead of saying, "Dad, listen, they don't like me. This isn't going to work out well." He was experiencing the grace of God that passes understanding, the peace of God, and that was the testimony. And listen, I don't know what it is, but you've heard this saying, misery loves company. If somebody's upset, they want you miserable too. And it's a bad way if they're in charge. Amen. It's going to be a rough day. But here's the thing. It didn't stop Joseph. Even though his brothers were older, he was experiencing the grace of God. And sometimes a little more heat's applied when we're having a good day and somebody else isn't. And so he was sold into Potiphar's house. And Potiphar, no doubt, thought, "What? There's something different." Right? Some might say, "What's wrong with that boy?" Right? No, there's something different, and that was God that made the difference. That was the best witness to where Potiphar said, no doubt there was some conversation there with Joseph and Potiphar and God, because it says that Potiphar knew that the Lord was blessing him because of Joseph. And so, listen, that's the same witness and testimony that God wants in our lives. The grace of God, the peace of God, and by the way, the prosperity. God wants us to prosper in a way that will glorify Him. And so it did. And then also in the prison. And so God has the right timing, but I want you to also see that Joseph was dependent upon that. Question tonight, are we as confident in God's great faithfulness as Joseph was? And if not, all we simply have to do is say, "Oh God, I want you to make me confident as Joseph was." Does God want His people to glorify Him? Does He want us to glorify Him? How, unless He gives us what we need? We don't have anything on our own. Everything that we have has to come from God. Even the next breath that we breathe has to come from God. It does. And so, Lord, You want me to glorify You, then, Lord, I'm asking You. Do you think God will hear this prayer? God, I am asking You to glorify Yourself in me. I'm asking You to allow me to rest in the peace and grace that You have given to me that others might see. So very quickly, the right timing. And now I want you to see God's orchestration here. And He is. He's the orchestrator of all good things. Verse 2, it says here, "And behold, there came upon the river." This is the dream that Pharaoh had. "Seven well-favored and kind and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh woke, and he slept and dreamed the second time." Now tell me God's not in on this. This doesn't mean, now carefully listen, this doesn't mean that when he awoke, it wasn't morning. It's in the middle of, have you ever been woken up by a dream that startled you? That's exactly what happened here. And so he goes back to sleep. He gets his composure, goes back to sleep. And notice it says, "And he slept." So that's a conjunction continuing the same thought that we were following there. "And he slept and dreamed the second time in the same night. And behold, seven ears of corn came upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." Now he's up, all right? But it puzzled him. Who gave Pharaoh those dreams? God did. So is God involved in the world powers, in the kings that be? He was here. Is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? All right. So He's in control. Should we worry? Should we worry? No, because everything is in God's hands. Are we in God's hands? Is our president in God's hands? Amen? The emperor, but what is he called? The premier of China. Is he in God's hands? Now listen, he allows things to take place, but they still are all in God's hands. And I've explained this in the past, and the way that I see it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and show me if you'd like from the scriptures, that God has given to us the freedom to make our choices, and then God has interwoven his will that will not falter in the freedom of our will. And that just amazes me. And when you look at, nobody will stand before the Lord and say, I didn't have a choice. Nobody will be able to do that. They made their choice. And so he awakes out of this dream, verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So here we have the right timing, God's orchestration in verses, again, 1 through 7. And now in verse 8, we find a troubled spirit. Who caused that spirit to be troubled? It was the Lord to set everything in motion. Verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now listen, what in the world put it in the mind of Pharaoh that he could find out the meaning of his dream? Why? So when you have a dream like that, do you go, if you do, don't tell me. But anyway, do you go around telling people, can you tell me what this meant? Can you tell me what this meant, what this dream meant? You better ask Joseph if you're having that. But anyway, the Lord put that in him, and it troubled him. Listen, this is the world power saying, I've had a dream. Somebody needs to tell me what this means. Question, do you think he ever had a dream before this time that he didn't understand what it meant? Why this one? One answer. God. God. Listen. Why is everything taking place in our world the way it is today? God is allowing it. But wait a minute. That does not excuse you and I from not calling upon the Lord to glorify himself in and through our lives just like he did Joseph. And that's the important part. Listen, the world's going to make it, may we never come to this place where, well, God said it was going to be like that, but not in you and I. The Lord said that the world was going to be calling things that were good, bad, and things that are bad, good. Are we seeing that today? But not amongst God's people. May God's people be founded and established in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we become more committed, not less committed. May we be more determined to call upon the Lord and his grace. When things got tough for Joseph and became more difficult, he became more committed and more in his heart to call upon God for the needs that he had. The greater the need, the more we should be calling upon the Lord. And so that's where he was. Troubled spirit in the life of Pharaoh. And now we watch God's meticulous, detailed plan. Look at verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. Now listen, he called, so does something strike you out of touch here? He is calling for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and I don't know where the butler fits in there. The butler's not who you would consider to be your wise man, unless it's like, I'm thinking of the old Batmans, you know, Alfred always had something to help and helping make some decisions. But here it is, ready? The truth of the matter is, the butler just doesn't fit. But he happened, no doubt, everybody was hearing it, and now all of a sudden, where does the wisdom come from for the answer? Did it come from the wise men? Did it come from the magician? No, listen, out of an unexpected quarter, here comes this butler. Pharaoh, I remember my fault this day. And so, the butler moves the whole kingdom of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? Verse 9 again, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And now look, I want you to see God's witness through his people. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, verse 10, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. There's this dream in one night again. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, listen, a Hebrew. This butler, he said, he's a Hebrew. He's, remember, listen, the people of God, may they say of you and I, hey, listen, there's this one person, and they're a Christian. That's a good testimony. This was not a negative slam here. Notice this, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, each man according to his dream. He did interpret, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And no doubt Pharaoh said, yep, I did that. That's exactly what I did. Now notice this, ready? Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And I want to stop right there, but I want you to fathom this thought. All of a sudden, this obscure individual, just like the butler, he's not the high-ranking servant or the high-ranking advisor. Look how God works. He takes the weak and beggarly things of the world to glorify himself, to bring to shame the things that the world magnifies. Because remember, the world is at enmity. The world crucified our Savior. Now, he willingly went for our salvation and was persecuted by the world power being Rome at that time. And so Jesus said, if they'll do that to me, won't they do that to you as well? But wait a minute. Where is our confidence to be at? Sometimes we may feel forgotten by man, but know this, we are never forgotten by God. And if we'll call upon him and say, oh God, use me, do your will in me. Lord, let me experience your grace, that come what may, that you would be glorified, not brought shame, but glorified in and through me. God is not asking you and I to manufacture a stable heart. He's not asking us to manufacture that. He's asking us to ask God to do that for us, to give us his peace. Didn't Jesus say, my peace I give unto you, not the peace of the world? Is that real? Is that true? So if God's saying, I want to give you a peace, you think it might be a good idea for us to ask him for peace when we don't have it? Be a good idea. Lord, I want your peace. That would be that. Let me challenge you tonight to ask God for his peace and his grace every day and throughout the day. And watch what God will do. Let me say that again. Watch what God will do as you call upon him. Because now you're expressing faith in him. Lord, give me your grace and your peace and your joy this day. Monday. You can even ask him tonight. Lord, that I might finish off this night. Let me step out on faith tonight and say, God, may you bless me, oh God. I call upon you, asking you for your joy and your peace that you say you'll give to me. Not the joy and the peace of the world, but yours that no man can take. So tonight, mankind might forget, but God never forgets. Amen. Would you stand with me as we prepare for invitation tonight? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. And Lord, we thank you for what you've given to us. And all we simply need to do is just turn to you and call upon you. And you've promised to answer. Lord, you've not ever called us to manufacture the things that you want to give us, but to simply ask you for them.